Just as I'm getting set up here, between my jobs doing ministry and, oh, ow. Anyone see that? That was the worst. Okay. Between my jobs doing ministry, hitting myself in the head and doing schoolwork, I've picked up a lot of hours part-time at Walmart. Now, Walmart is a wonderful world for those of you who haven't been there. I quite enjoy it most days, that's going to leave a mark. Anyway, I've been injured plenty of times at Walmart, too. It's fine. Anyways, but Walmart is a wonderful world filled with wonderful people, and I've actually enjoyed my time working there a fair bit, albeit working retail can be very stressful some days, such as during Christmas, and I work with a great crew of guys. Now I kind of do everything around there. Because I get bored doing the same thing over and over. I like to move it around. That's why tonight I was like, yeah, I'll play the drums. I'd love to. Just helps get me going for the sermon. But there was one guy on my team when I first started with Store Standards. Is a great guy. Love hanging out with him. Just a real good spirit. His name is Stephen. And boy, I tell you, this is not my finest point, but he drove me nuts. Okay? Still does. I'd be working out, you know, getting a nice sweat going, pushing carts. As Store Standards, when I first started, the majority of my position was go out, get carts, bring them back in so everybody can do their shopping. So I go out, I take the cart machine out, rack up 20 or so carts, feeling pretty good about myself. And I'd be looking around, I'm like, that's weird. Where did Steven go? I thought he was out here. And then I'll come around the corner, and then there he is, gabbing away to one of his friends again, you know, who's waiting for the bus. I say, you know, that's okay. People are allowed to say hi to their friends. I say hi to my friends. That's fine. So I keep rolling. We get closer and closer to Christmas time of my first year. And I'm out there, you know, it's kind of snowing. This kind of like gross, like sleet, icy thing. And going around with the cart machine again. It's a little trickier to keep the carts in line with the ice. You know, I'm having a few closed carts in cars. And I'm like, man, I could sure use Steven to help me steer this thing. So I didn't, you know. But where could Steven be? So I pull the carts inside, and there he is, sitting on the side of one of the cash registers, chatting up one of the cashiers, just not a care in the world. I'm like, okay, you know, we're allowed to talk to our coworkers. It's good. Boost morale, you know. It's that, you know, no one can be moving their whole shift, right? So things go on. So then it's Christmas time, and Christmas time at Walmart, it's kind of, I get this kind of like adrenaline high. Like it's almost kind of like I enjoy it too much. Like it's so crazy. The carts are constantly being grabbed. So it's just like, you keep moving. But I'm going and going. We have no carts left. I'm pushing and pushing. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm pushing through like 3 inches of snow and I can't use the cart machine. Where is Steven? Where is Steven? So I keep looking around. I don't see a full hour. And he comes back. He's like, sorry, man. I had to get a drink of water from out back. I'm like, a drink of water? And at this point, I'm going to lose it, okay? Absolutely lose it. Again, not my finest point. I don't recommend treating your coworkers this way. I'm just ready to rip into him. And it just in my head, I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord. Like, can you believe this guy? And I just hear him, you know, John, I love Stephen too. And at that moment, instead of strangling him, I patted him on the back, and I said, Stephen, that's good. You need that water. Let's get back out there. Please. But it really hit me, because all through my job, I've been working hard, trying to do my best, and I felt like he wasn't picking up his end of the slack. And I had every right to be angry with him. But in that moment, God spoke to me, just to have a little bit more grace. And he spoke to me about the bigger picture. You know, maybe, John, if you tried listening to Stephen a little more, instead of just barking at him to get to work, he would be more interested in coming around the parking lot with you. Now, when I work with Stephen, I'm actually looking forward to seeing him in the fall when I go back to work there. I'm a bit less distracted and more focused on listening to him, on what Christ is doing in our relationship, and on what is better. So now I want you, around your tables, I want you to talk about the worst experience you've had, be it doing a group project or some form of, maybe it was a collaboration with someone else on a project at work or a partnership or a volunteer experience where, you know, you were left stacking all the chairs where everyone else talked and ate dessert. I want you to, at your table, share your worst experience ever. I shared mine, so you can. All right, you wrap up your combos there, and I'm just going to get us, before I dive into my sermon, I'm going to open us up just in a word of prayer, if you'd pray with me. God, we thank you so much for this wonderful evening to be together, to enjoy each other's fellowship, for the delicious feast that we had here. We just pray for Gordon as he rests up, and we pray again just for the family down in Montague as they mourn. And we pray, Lord, tonight that as we look at your word, that you would speak to us, that we would be listening to you, that you would help to remove all the other distractions, concerns, remove all the other things that we're focused on about ourselves, Lord, and help us to hear from you tonight. Refresh us, Lord. May your will be done. Amen. So the passage we're going to be looking at tonight as we keep moving through our More Than a Meal series is Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. I'm going to have it up on the screen there, but for those who want to follow along, we're looking at this passage, and it's coming, it's in an interesting spot in the Gospel of Luke. They're just leaving the Samaritan region, and Jesus has actually just sent out 72 of his disciples all around to the surrounding villages. They've gone out bringing his message, proclaiming about the kingdom of God, and they've returned to him, exclaiming, amazed at the miracles that have happened and the authority they've had to cast out demons. And they're on their way, getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. So they come to a town very near Jerusalem, and this is where this picks up. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, Martha was inviting Jesus and his disciples in. And at first when I looked at this, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Jesus and his kind of his classic 12 apostles, right? You know, we think of. But because of the context, it makes sense for us to believe, oh, like she's actually inviting in this whole crowd of like 80 plus guys in to dine with them and stay with them for the evening. So she's doing a big undertaking. Now, I really relate to Martha. I just wonder, like, can you guys guess why? I am Martha, like, every week. Helping to organize the meals. I'm just like, Martha, like, we're doing the same thing here. I like it. Okay. Anyway, so she invites him home. So we have every reason to believe that she is quite well off. You know, she has the funds, she has the resources, probably has a household filled with a number of different servants for different things in order to take this on. But here in this next verse, as we get to know Martha and her sister Mary, I want you to, this is a great thing to watch for when you're reading the Bible yourself, watch for how the author describes them. This is a very short passage, so you have to pay attention to the adjectives, the verbs being associated with each character. So if I go to the next slide there, Nick. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So her lovely sister is there sitting, and she's inviting them to their home for the night to help prepare a meal, and she's listening to Jesus, which is awesome. But here's where I feel like me and Martha have a connection where I start to also feel her feelings as well. Why isn't Mary doing anything? You know, why is she just off talking to someone else? If we could go to the next verse here. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. See, she was overseeing this huge meal, getting everything ready for all her guests. And if you pay very close attention, at first when I read this passage, I felt bad because I'm a bit of a task-oriented guy, right? I think about what needs to get done. I'm always, I feel horrible, but I forget to say hi to people. I forget to call my lovely parents who are here tonight, which I'm very happy about. I just get focused on the next thing that needs to happen, on what I need to accomplish. But the thing was, it wasn't that the preparations or the tasks were the problem. It was that Martha was distracted by these preparations. She was so distracted by these preparations that she wasn't listening to what Jesus had to say. She couldn't hear what her Lord had to say. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but Hannah and I have. Having guests over our house, we're focused on kind of getting the meal ready and get the things out. We're asking them questions. Oh, how's school? Where are you working? You know, what's your family like? And then all of a sudden they respond, you've already asked me that twice. Like, I'm sorry. I was just getting, yes, yeah. And I don't know if you ever experienced that, but it's so easy when we're caught up in getting things ready. Sometimes we forget to listen to the people around us. So what does Martha's distraction result in? We see the immediate result is that she becomes very focused on herself. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Suddenly, this amazing opportunity to bless Jesus and the disciples. You see, she talks about herself 5 times in one sentence. It's impressive. Unfortunately, when I hear that statement in more or less words, I can think of a few times when I have said just about the same thing. She becomes self-obsessed, a little vindictive, and frankly, I don't blame her. There is a lot to get done, even with the servant's help. She needs every hand she can get. And Jesus responds to this not by condemning the work because it has to get done, right? Everybody's got to eat. Everybody needs a bed to sleep on. But he's trying to break her free of that concern. He speaks with compassion and love. If we go to the next verse here, Nick. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. You hear it as he says her name twice. That compassion, that wanting her to be free from the concerns, like it's okay. It's all going to get done. Everything will be taken care of. I'm looking after you, Martha. You think that you're serving me. You think that you're bringing a meal to me, and I so appreciate it, but I am caring for you. God wants us to be involved, listening, engaged with the people around us, with our work around us, with our family, our relatives. I remember I was at Walmart again and came up, starting to get to know some of the guys in electronics, right? It gets a little cold in the winter, and I just wanted to come inside for a few shifts, get a break from pushing carts through the snow. And one of the electronics guys, I was getting a note said to me, "Oh, you're religious. You're an intern pastor." I heard, you know, Amanda always calls you Pastor John. I'm like, yeah, that's me. I really enjoy that. So I was getting kind of nervous when the conversation starts like that. You know, you never know where it's going to go. But excuse me. He said, "Well, I respect that. You do you, and I'll do me." And in that moment, I had a lot to do. I was on my way out back trying to get things ready, and I almost hurried off, but I thought, you know, I'll just pause here for a moment. I say, "Well, thank you. I really appreciate that." And I kind of let this kind of like this awkward pause linger. I'm really good at that, being just the awkward pauses in social conversations. But then he starts to tell me about this movie that he saw about someone's theory about Jesus. And then he goes on to describe to me for the next 45 minutes his perspectives on religion and spirituality. And I just listened. It was a joy, and I couldn't believe it. And in all my times at Walmart and trying to start faith conversations and trying to bring Jesus up and trying to bring this component of my life to share in this sphere, I'd been having so much trouble. I almost felt, these people must feel like I'm trying to shove it down their throats. But just being able to hear his perspectives, I'm like, man, that's awesome. And a few weeks later, you know, started asking me questions, you know. Oh, well, what about this in the Bible? Like, well, do you really think, you know, it's that many thousand years? You know, the world is this, you know, is this young? Is that old? Like, and we started getting into debates and science and philosophy. But it all started with just a moment's pause instead of me focusing on my work, just listening a bit more. Excuse me. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the concerns and worries of life. You know, bills to pay, car payments, looking after the house, relatives, kids, vacation, work, for some of the younger adults, school, you know, assignments, internships, trying to get a career off the ground. And I want to be clear that in this passage, Jesus is not encouraging the abdication of responsibility. Right? These things do need to get done. God wants us to be involved in the world in the same way that he wants us to be doing our daily errands, going to work. You know, at Walmart, I firmly believed that I wasn't just clocking hours, although some days I sure felt like it. I believed that my presence there with Christ dwelling inside of me made a difference to everyone around me. But he is encouraging something better. He goes on to say that Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, this Mary Magdalene, feel free to do a fact check on me, but I'm quite certain that in the other Gospels, this is the same Mary that had demons were possessing her, had over 7 demons inside of her, and Jesus cast them out. Mary had been freed from those shackles and was listening to what Jesus said. She had tasted the new life, and she was not going to let go of it. So much so that, you know what? A couple things slipped her mind. She kind of forgot about Martha, and I'm sure she felt real bad when Martha came out and said that. But she was listening to what Jesus said. And what was some of the number one things that Jesus talked about? Well, if I could go to the next slide, Nick, I thought this verse would help to kind of sum up the idea of what was Mary really paying attention to. What was she doing? Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So we can go to the next slide there. My question for you today are you distracted or are you listening? Are the concerns for what needs to happen cutting you off from the life that you need? Or do you have a chance, a space to hear from our Lord who has life and life abundant? So you say to me, okay, that's great. Well, my life is busy, all right. I've got a lot going on. I don't have time to listen, and that's fair, because honestly, I feel like most times I don't. But what are some ways, or how can we even start to maybe be distracted just a little bit less and listen just a little more to what God's doing in and around us. But firstly, if I can go to the next slide, Nick, is I'd encourage you to listen through moments. These phones are awesome, but sometimes, like I've said before, I don't realize how much time has gone by with it on my hand, scrolling, playing games, texting, whatever. I encourage you, if you have a moment and you even just silence your phone, it's okay. I promise you, the oxygen will help you survive, you know. Silence the phone, set it down in one room, and just for 5 minutes, walk into another. And just be disconnected from it for a minute. Just open yourself up and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm listening to you. There is a great monk by the name of Brother Lawrence who practiced the presence of God. He wrote a great text on that I really encourage you to look at. And he would seek God in every single moment of his day. He was famous for practicing the presence of God, doing the dishes. The whole time he'd be doing the dishes, he'd be saying to himself, thank you for being with me. Thank you for being in my presence. Now, with these practices, as a young preacher, I like to experiment and, you know, do things that you might not be used to, so please bear with me. Right now, I thought maybe we could practice listening through a moment. And in our church, we firmly believe that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us and that primarily God speaks to us through his word and through his divine revelation through Jesus Christ. But sometimes he speaks to us directly to each other, just highlights things in our lives that he wants us to think about or reconsider. So right now, just for the next 60 seconds, I'm going to encourage you just to close your eyes and just listen. Just like in the Bible, like Samuel said, here I am, Lord, listening. Just say, here I am, Lord, listening. And it might just be 60 blessed moments of silence in a busy life, in a busy week. Or you might hear something, someone's name or a place or a sin or something to praise. And if something comes to mind, I encourage you to write it down with your crayon on the table. And if not, that's okay. Some of you squirm at these things, and that's all right. My lovely wife, Hannah, you know, she loves to chat. She loves to talk and likes, you know, lots of noise going on. But just for the next 60 seconds, I encourage you to close your eyes and try listening in this moment. Some of you are just thinking, and the others are thinking, this is torture. Other ways that we can listen, take a posture of listening, is listening to God through his word, taking a few moments. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. You know, in this passage, Mary is sitting, listening to what Jesus said, but I'm sure she works hard the rest of the day. I'm sure there's lots of other things she was taking care of. But we listen to his word, what he has to say for us and how to live about life and how we live. We also listen through prayer. Right after this chapter, Jesus launches into teaching his disciples how to pray. On thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we pray and we engage in this mysterious divine conversation with God, he responds. He responds in surprising ways. Another great way to move into this posture of listening is through the Sabbath. When I first started at Kingswood, in my first semester, I was plowing through. I was working 7 days a week, trying to get everything done. I was like, I can't stop working. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. And then some of my friends there challenged me to, hey, you know, maybe taking a day off would actually help refresh you. And maybe observing the Sabbath might be a bigger blessing to you than I thought. So with much chagrin and hesitation, I started taking 1 day a week. And I put the homework away and I said, okay, on this day I'm going to work on other things, or I'm going to do some fun things and hang out with my awesome girlfriend at the time and, you know, just take a break from all the studies. And my grades just spiked. They increased dramatically in my second semester with me taking that time to rest, to listen, to put God and his kingdom first. And finally, another great way is listening through others. God has so much to say to us, so many ways to encourage us, to bring us delight and joy through the other people in our lives. We have all been given God-given tasks in our lives, but these tasks are primarily for his children all around the world. And if we miss listening to those around us, enjoying their presence, pausing to really say hi to the people in our lives, we miss out on what he's doing in our midst. God also speaks through kids in a great way. That's partly why I love things like VBS. You'd be surprised at the blessing and the amazing things God does in the hearts and minds of kids through those events. So as I finish tonight, I just wanted to share one last story. I've been reading, although I disagree with a lot of what she writes, it's been challenging in a good way for me to think outside of my own perspectives. A reverend by the name of Nadia Boltz Weber. She's a very provocative Lutheran priest. She's got Mary Magdalene tattooed on her arm. And she's been a great icon for a lot of people entering religion in this generation. But she tells a story of she was getting ready for this big rally day. It was the end of the summer and attendance had been kind of low. So she'd been trying some experimental things for the summer, which weren't as successful as at summer church here, to get people to come out and, you know, be a part of it. She'd got this crazy cotton candy machine from the other side of town, thinking, you know, this is it. Everyone's going to come for the cotton candy on this rally day. And then she sets everything up, and she goes upstairs, and it's the lowest number of people the whole summer, just like 20 or so. And she is just livid, like beyond livid, so mad. Like, Lord, I am working so hard. Why are there so few people here? They were supposed to come out. I'm so angry at everyone right now. So then they're eating all this food that she's bought, and her congregants are like, oh, there's too much food. Why don't we, like, give some to some of the people around the neighborhood or nearby? And she's in her head, oh, like, I bought all this food, and it's, you know, no one came to eat it. I'm so mad. And she's kind of leaning over backwards. She's been in pain all day long. And one of her good friends comes to her and says, you look like you're in pain. Can I pray for your back right now? And she says, sure, but in her mind, she's like, oh, never. I don't want any prayer. I just want to go home. I just want to sleep. I just want to be alone. And then some of her church members pray for her and her back. She doesn't really pay attention to it, right? Still frustrated, finish things up, go home. She's lying on her bed, going through all the ways that things had just gone wrong. And then realizes her back pain, which is bothering her for weeks, which her doctor said was chronic, suddenly it's gone. She gets up and she's leaning back and forth, all the different positions, and there's not a single bit of pain. In the midst of being distracted by the preparation she's doing, she missed that God healed her on the spot right there in a crazy way. Life is about more than just meals, just food, money, clothes, worries, our concerns. So I just want to encourage you tonight to listen. Because when you listen, you get to be a part of what Jesus is doing in our midst. Please close with me in a word of prayer. God, we thank you that you are doing so much in around us, in around just simple things like meals, like sitting down with others, inviting people into our homes, simple things like inviting friends and relatives and acquaintances and neighbors to events like this. And I pray, Lord, help us to listen and hear what you want to do in our lives, what you want to do in us. And when we feel weighed down by concerns, when we feel weighed down by all the things distracted, when we feel frustrated toward others, feeling like, why aren't they helping me? Why does it feel like I'm carrying this load by myself? Lord, please bring us the help we need, but also help us to listen to what you have to say about the situations. In your name, amen.